Hopefully each of you is having a good week. It's good to be together this evening, and we're going to be looking at a few words from the book of James. You know, we always appreciate and admire men and women in service in the military, and we hear about acts of heroism and valor, hear about compassion and sense of loyalty. We appreciate those things. Many of those kinds of stories we find as well in the Old Testament, when God's people were at war and when they fought side by side, when they trusted in God, and we see the great things that were done in the service to the Lord in those times of warfare and battle. But today, of course, though our warfare is different, it is no less important, or we are no less encouraged or impressed by the kind of valiancy, the kind of courage that men and women of faith display. And of course, we have spiritual battles that we're engaged in, that we are to fight. In James chapter 1 here, beginning at verse 12, James says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." Temptation is one of those battles that we will always be fighting. All of us are tempted by various things in life. We talk about, and John writes about in 1 John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the vain pride of life. Throughout our lives, temptation will continue. They might change somewhat from our youth to our later years of life, the kinds of things that we're tempted with, but Satan will always seek to tempt and destroy God's people. He began in the garden with Adam and Eve, and he'll continue till the Lord comes again. But temptation is something that we can and we must endure. It's a constant weary battle that we must face. You know, you get tired of being tempted. You get tired of being faced with those challenges to your faith and to your loyalty to Christ. There are things that you wish that just didn't bother you anymore. Paul talks about the struggle against the flesh and the spirit in Romans chapter 7. And it speaks in terms of just wishing to be freed from this body of death. This body that God has given us has been made with various desires. Lawful ways there are to fulfill those desires, and then there are unlawful ways. And the challenge for us is to resist the temptations to do those things we ought not to do, or to neglect to do those things that we're commanded to do. Here in James chapter 1, verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." There are men and women who've served in the military who have been given medals of honor. They have been exalted, glorified. They have been honored because of their service, because of various things that they have done on behalf of their country, on behalf of their fellow soldiers, sacrifices they have made, even putting their lives in jeopardy, injuries have been suffered. Think about your own life as a Christian. There are temptations that we're going to have to go through, and that battle will always remain with us. But notice what we're told. There is a crown awaiting us. When we overcome temptation, when we resist doing what we want to do and gratifying the desires of the flesh, what are we showing? That we love God more than we love ourselves. Because you see here that the crown is promised to those who love Him. Every day that we live, we struggle to show God, "I love you more than I love myself. I am more interested in pleasing you and doing your will than I am in pleasing myself, pleasing any member of my family, pleasing any person that I may work with," because we get pressure sometimes to conform, to do something that will gratify somebody else's desires, make somebody else happy. But if that puts me in opposition to doing God's will, I cannot do it. many different kinds of temptations we'll be faced with, but we must love God and show our loyalty to Him. But James wants us to understand the nature of temptation. And he points out the fact that temptation doesn't come from God. In other words, God doesn't seek to cause your spiritual downfall. He allows us to be tempted, yes. But he says here, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. How does it happen then? But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So someone says, well, God made me with these desires. But God also made us with the ability to control ourselves. Every desire that we have, we can either yield to or resist. And we're called upon to practice that kind of self-discipline on a daily basis. People will do it for health reasons. They will deny themselves certain things because they want to feel better, because they want to have better health. So they may control portions or what they eat, various types of things that they can expose themselves to. Spiritually, it's far more important that we consider the fact that we're going to have to understand this human body that we're given is a beautiful work of God, and it shows the handiwork of God. And it has its purpose. And a part of the purpose of the human body is to test us and try us. Because, again, the temptations we're faced with can be gratified in lawful ways. That is, desires that we have that can be lawfully fulfilled. We must, however, separate and distinguish between what is right and wrong and turn away from and not be enticed by those desires that we would have that would cause us to violate God's will. Eve looked upon that fruit and saw the nature of it, that it was desirable in various ways, and she partook of it. And we, in our own way, sometimes even on a daily basis, eat that forbidden fruit. But we've got to have a new heart and a new way and know that the reward and the promise and the demonstration of love is in refraining from partaking of that and instead walking away from it. Instead saying to God, I love you more. James tells us the conclusion of it all. Verse 15, how that we are drawn away, verse 14, from our own desires and enticed. And then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Desire to do what is unlawful is what he's speaking about here. Desire, he says, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So desire in and of itself is not wrong. It can be channeled in the right direction. But you can allow it to go where it shouldn't go, and then that's when sin is born. And sin, he says, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That is sin that becomes habitual. A long-standing practice, something that we persist in, is what leads to death. Our Lord and Savior was tempted, but without sin. We can overcome sin. We can get stronger to resist sin. But the temptation to sin will always be there. Let's be committed every day of our lives to fight against the temptation to sin. Again, there's the sins of commission, doing what we shouldn't, and the sins of omission, failing to do what we should. Let's fill our lives with the good and eliminate from our lives the bad, so that one day, because of our love for God, we all can inherit the crown of eternal life. If you're not a Christian yet this evening, the Lord, of course, can rescue you from your present fate, which is eternal separation from God. Through belief in Jesus, repentance, confession, baptism, we're brought into the family of God, and we have blessings that are only in Christ Jesus. The blessing of prayer, the help that God gives to His children, the promise, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. These are great and tremendous blessings. They can be yours tonight when you obey the gospel and become a Christian. But as a child of God already, what is your walk like? Does it demonstrate the love for Christ, in particular as it relates to the turning from temptation? Do you need the prayers of the church? If you have needs tonight, we'd be happy to assist you as we stand and sing.